Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
I keep your pick. Beside my bed. And I still remember everything you said. Oh, I always thought our love was so right. I guess I was wrong. Always thought you'd be by my side, Papa. Now you're gone. And I'm not trying to hear that shit. What I wanna know is, baby, if what we had was good, how come you don't call me anymore?
I was trying to figure out if this was the original.
Oh no, this was your girl's.
Okay.
I did this because
I saw
some shady ass comments. I just was choosing not to answer anybody. And I saw some shady ass because somebody said, "Would you rather hear Jade or Alicia?" I'd rather hear your mom first.
I didn't see that question.
They asked you directly.
They did. Did I respond? They should.
I don't know. You know, I be dipping in and out of the internet.
I'm so sorry if I failed to see that. I did not know that somebody asked me that question.
I'm the worst, so don't feel too bad. But I said, well, you know what? Well, then I'm just going to give these hoes a double dose today or tonight.
That old, nothing beats that Alicia Keys strain, honey.
What do I wanna know, baby?
Alicia sing like all of her veins be just in her neck. They do. It just seems as though I feel like all her toes is balled up in her shoes, and she's singing from a place, you know.
Even when it's breathy and wispy.
All I wanna know, baby,
if what we had was good. Still light the fire on a rainy night.
And then still
it better when you're holding me tight. All right.
That was before Mashonda made sure that her gift was stolen. But that's it. Praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome back to Getting Grown with Jade and Kia. I'm Kia. Pull yourself together. Hello. Introduce yourself.
I'm Mashonda.
Oh my gosh. And we are back to talk about the scam that is adulting, honey. The worst hood we've ever endeavored to live in.
Ooh, baby.
The good, the bad, the ugly, the tests, the trials, the twists, the turns, the temptations, and the taxes of being a real live adult in the year of our Lord 2020.
The ghetto and the ghetto.
Absolutely. But yeah, man, it has been a trying couple of days, but we are persevering and pushing through. Of course, we want to dedicate this entire show to the lives of Kobe Bryant, Gianna Bryant, Alyssa Altobelli, John Altobelli, Carrie Altobelli, Christina Mosser, Sarah Chester, Peyton Chester, and Ara Zobayan. Sorry if I'm mispronouncing any of those names, but those are all of the individuals that lost their lives in a tragic helicopter crash just yesterday. And I think the whole nation is in a state of grief and shock and loss. And not just them, but people are people are, you know, we're losing our loved ones every day. I also got word last week that one of my good friends from my time at UConn, James Parker, passed away in a tragic accident, and his funeral was last week. So I want to dedicate this to him as well, and thank him for the laughs and the love, and saying that he will absolutely be missed. But listen, managing and dealing with, you know, the certainty of death is something that we all have to kind of find our way through. So hopefully we can continue to try to lean on each other as we figure this out.
It's just sobering, and it's really, really sobering. And, you know, regardless of however you felt personally, it was a tragic accident. People lost parents and siblings and spouses and all, you know, all manners of relationships. And so we want to keep that in mind when we're making comments and saying certain things. Remember that somebody's child is going to read this later on. You know what I'm saying? If somebody lost their daddy and their sister in a tragic accident, lost their mother and their sister, their father. So we really want to try to be loving at this time and take this opportunity to, when you think about somebody that you love, let them know that you love them, because things happen quick. We don't know the hour, we don't know the time, we don't know the day. So we send all of our love, all of our positive energy and vibrations over to Vanessa and to the siblings and to the two children who lost their parents and their sister, and just everybody involved who was affected. This episode is dedicated to them.
Absolutely. It feels like a silly question to ask, but how are you, sis?
You know, it's been heavy. I took little peeks in during the Grammys and stuff, but I had to kind of just detach myself from the internet because it was a lot of information coming in at one time, and I find myself getting overwhelmed and also getting, you know, sucked into it. And it's such a tragic and sobering moment. You know, I start thinking about my own family, and you know, you don't know when you leave the house, you don't know what's gonna happen. You know, it's a blessing to be able to come back home. So that's just been heavy on my heart, and that's kind of where I've been, to be honest. Also, silly question, but same thing to you.
I mean, it's just been, like you said, it's been a time of reflection, and I've really been trying to think about not only my mental health, but my mental hygiene, and trying to be mindful of the nature of the thoughts that I'm thinking and giving space for my feelings, but not getting caught up in a deep and depressive space. It's been really, really challenging. I was, you know, just Sundays are, you know, my routine on Sundays is church and errands and all that kind of stuff. But I remember yesterday just shutting everything down. Like, I had plans. I wanted to get a pedicure. I needed to go to the grocery store. But when the news came through, I was actually on FaceTime with Keisha, and we both kind of dealt with it, you know, finished our conversation. And I literally just kind of decided that I was no longer going to do anything that I said that I was going to do. Mm-hmm. And I needed to just kind of sit with myself for a little while. And because I was really just, you know, that kind of tragic news is especially triggering for me. Because I know what that's like to kind of receive that kind of shock and surprise. So I immediately started thinking about and praying for the families. And I was really, really disappointed, because I mean, I talked a little bit about this on Twitter, but I am very sensitive to how, like, the violence that can occur when this kind of information is not handled properly. Mm-hmm. So I'd also saw on the internet that there are some allegations that TMZ leaked this story before all of the family members were made aware. And that really just hurt my heart because I know what it's like to be in that space, and not at all to make this about me. But mm-hmm. I just completely recognize, like, when my brother passed, there were individuals in New York and people within his friends group that were kind of talking about things on Facebook, and people were responding and sending me messages before, you know, I had the opportunity to speak to my family or anything like that. So kind of like, that's just not something you want to learn on social media. So I really wanted to be mindful of that, and just like, I just took myself off of social media because I didn't want to be a part of it, because
right.
in whatever small way, like, I recognize that nobody in that family probably follows me or knows anything about me or anything like that. But I really was hopeful that we would just take some time to get off of social media and stop talking about it, because bigger than a news story, and not saying that we all don't, you know, have a right to process and get information, but just like, we want to make space for families to kind of with this. So it was just like really a lot for me, and just kind of being silent and thinking about what this means, and how to move forward. It was just a very deep and reflective time, such that, you know, when the Grammys came on, I was kind of grateful for a bit of a reprieve, and just to be able to think about and focus on something else. I was disappointed that the Housewives weren't coming on, but I was like, okay, well, I guess I'll watch these people on the Grammys that I don't know, but we'll see. But yeah, it was definitely a trying day, and I'm still kind of feeling the heaviness of yesterday.
Yeah,
it took me a long time to find my productivity at work today, and kind of like get myself in the swing of doing, because I was just really. I've really, really been in my head about this.
Yeah, I couldn't this morning. I didn't go to the gym like I was supposed to. I text Fran. I was like, I couldn't get myself together this morning. And I'm not even going to hold you. When Noah and Tristan left for work and school, I had a moment. You know what I'm saying? And it's just heavy. It's just heavy, and I cannot get those families off my mind. Those poor babies who are left without their entire family. The siblings of Gigi Bryant, who especially her oldest sister. You know, she grew up with her. This is her sister who she grew up with, and you know that. Mm-hmm. You know how that is. So I keep thinking about her. I'm like, she lost her sister who she had in her life, who she grew up with, who she had her whole life. As well as, you know, your father. And, you know, I have read some disappointing things, but I've also seen a lot of beautiful things. and just trying to take a moment to reflect on it and process your feelings. Like I said, just process how I'm feeling about it and try to get through my thoughts and just be as respectful as possible, in the process.
I mean, I think we all need to figure out, you know, how best to kind of, like you said, process this information and make sense of it, but come to terms with the reality of what's happened in ways that will permit us to move forward. And my prayer is that we can find ways to be substantively supportive to these families. And whatever that means, you know, and however we choose to make that happen. But, you know, it is time for us to, I mean, it's just one of those times. It's just a perspective setting kind of situation right. that really makes you zoom out and think about what really matters and how quickly life can change. So,
yeah,
you know, if you are still dealing with this and feeling, you know, mourning someone. I've seen lots of, you know, Therapy for Black Girls and some other counselors and mental health professionals that I follow have been talking about the process of grieving somebody that you've never met, and how in this age of social media and the internet, how we come to get to know people without actually like holding space for them or having relationship with them. So like acknowledging that there is a grieving process that comes with losing somebody like this, like Kobe Bryant is who many of us grew up watching, you know, had a 20-year career in the NBA, and we just kind of like a mainstay, like an icon, like somebody who was a staple, somebody who was that comes to mind when you think about the NBA. So this is just is going to take some time for us to, we're not going to be able to just, you know, get over this, much like other major people that we've lost, Nipsey Hussle, Michael Jackson,
Whitney Houston, Prince.
All of these major, major things. I mean, it's mm-hmm. just, it's just this kind of news doesn't get easy. You don't get used to kind of getting this news of this kind of tragedy. So,
no. And when you really step back and think about it, you know, Kobe is right in that same age bracket as us. You know what I'm saying? So, like you just said, you know, we remember watching Kobe get drafted.
When he went to prom with Brandy.
With Brandy.
We remember, like, when he was all of the things.
He's just been a part of pop culture as long as we've known the pop culture of our time. You know what I'm saying? He grew up with us in that time. So like I said, if you're a fan, if you're not a fan, it doesn't matter. This is still, it's still impactful. And then again, when you just look at it from a completely human standpoint, this is just a tragedy. It's just a tragedy. So it's okay to take that time. It's okay to log off and do what you need to do, and process how you need to process. But I just ask from a human standpoint that we all just try to be mindful that that multiple families are suffering immensely right now. And if we could just be respectful of that and keep that in mind, you know, it'll still show that this world has a little bit of humanity in it. But so we wanted to make sure that we definitely paid our respects. And spoke on that, and let's move forward with the show. We're gonna have a really quick trash segment. Alright, so our thought for the trash, we were just gonna keep it super brief. You know, just because this is a bit of a heavy week, and like you said, you got a little bit of reprieve from the Grammys. I didn't watch it in its entirety, but I saw enough. I tuned in and out. You know, there were reasons why I tuned out at certain points. So I thought we could talk about the Grammys a little bit for the trash segment.
With it.
So give me your thoughts.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know who 89% of the people were who were on the show, but it was good to see a few familiar faces. Same.
Yeah.
Let me see. Performances that I enjoyed. I enjoyed Lil Nas X's performance. Of course, I enjoyed the Nipsey Hussle tribute.
Oh, yes.
I was not offended by Lizzo's performance.
She wasn't at a basketball game with her cheeks out.
Well, no. See? I mean, I'm just saying, well, Lizzo is very talented. That's what I'm saying. But I
no,
mean,
she's
I just
very talented.
I don't particularly go up for her music, but Lizzo is very talented. And I enjoyed her. I mean, I think she opened the show very well. Ariana
I enjoyed the fact that her cheeks were not exposed to unsanitary circumstances.
That's fair. I think Ariana Grande was cool, I guess.
Pointel.
Yes. And I enjoyed that little tribute that they did where they sung the song from Fame. I thought that was a good time.
Yes.
Aerosmith and Run DMC gave us a very geriatric performance.
Did but they're I mean, all grandpas so.
They're all aged and elderly, and
oh my god, it's so crazy to see
like it's like they slowed the song down so that everyone can keep up. It's like walk this way, talk this way. It was a very easy breezy
Leisurely.
Like a Starbucks
I'm
version.
Like, these beats per minute have been slowed, okay? We have been halted and brought down to a nice casual stroll.
All we needed was a husky voice white girl on that walk this way.
It was very, very, very.
And a guitar.
It gave very much like, wow. This, I remember when y'all did the first throwback 20 years ago. But
yeah, same.
Here we are again.
Right.
So, yeah.
Same. Who else? There was a young lady who did like a flamingo reggaeton.
Oh, her was cool. Yes.
Oh, hers nice. She has a beautiful voice.
Absolutely. But yes, the Rosalia, I don't know what her name is, but she was very,
I was distracted.
Like
by
a
the
new
shoes.
Age Shakira.
Yes.
That's what she gave me.
It was like Shalina. Like, it was like she gave me a Selena-esque outfit outside of those wretched shoes.
But those, you know, shoes, those young people shoes, child.
They drive me. Let me tell you, like, oh my God, we will do the petty peeves early. Those motherfucking shoes. Like, I hate them. I hate those big block.
They anyway. Call them like clonkers or clunkers or something.
Appropriate, okay? Mm-hmm. Clydesdales, whatever y'all want to call them, I hate them. I hate
Little
them
Nas X brought out Nas, so I thought I enjoyed that.
I said, okay, Mr. Jones, you better come. I was very pleased with. I was very pleased with Little. I'm always pleased with Little Nas X.
But yeah, I mean, it was fun. It was fun. I felt like Alicia Keys did a lot of unnecessary singing.
So, yes.
I mean, than any other host. I'm like, are you going to host or are you going to perform, girl? Because feel like every time you're going to come out, you're going to sing a song. What's happening?
And then when they announced that Alicia Keys was going to perform, I said, well, why are they announcing it? She's been doing it
the whole
night. I mean,
she's been performing all night, like since the very start of the show and throughout.
I don't know. They definitely asked Boyz II Men, which, you know, I was very happy to see Boyz II Men, but they definitely asked them at the last minute because they didn't give them an opportunity to put on shoes or
I felt like, you know, well, you know, they were, you can like, tell that this just, was a spur of the moment thing and no one was prepared.
Yes. They were like, come as you are. And that also, you all are not originally invited to this, which is why
you're part of that other young man's performance.
Were they?
With Charlie Wilson.
Oh, you see, I tuned out a few times.
Which was like mind-boggling to me. I think, what's his name? Tyler, the Creator?
Oh, yes. I missed his performance.
So, yes, he performed and like
Charlie Wilson. What'd he do, Earthquake?
And Charlie Wilson and Boyz II Men were singing like back. Were like, I'm like, what a time to be alive with Charlie Wilson and Boyz II Men are singing. They are oozing eyeing. They are oohing and eyeing and boom cat cacking for this young man.
For Tyler the Creator. Did he say, you got my earthquake? Was that the song he sang?
I had no earthly idea what he was doing. It was lots of movement and gyrating. And I just.
Did he have the bob?
Yeah. Yes. Yes, he did. And I was just like, well, okay, this is not for me. That's
I love
fine.
The bob. It's so ridiculous.
I'm learning in 2020. I'm just like, oh, he's not talking to me. That's cool.
You know, I don't know a lot of things. So I'm going to be fully transparent. The Billie Eilish girl, every time I heard the name Billie Eilish,
I was expecting, I was like,
well, I thought it was the guy from Lion King who played the voice of Pumbaa. I didn't know that. I mean, Timon. I didn't know that it was a young lady. Mm-hmm. What's that boy's? His name is Billy something as well. So I just kept thinking his name was Billie Eilish. So every time somebody would say Billie Eilish, I'm like, that's the man from Lion King, right? The comedian. So I didn't even know who she was or what she looked like until last night.
Same.
But same. Apparently, like, the girls go up.
Well, yeah, I'm down. I'm not
up. I guess,
up.
Like, I'm not, I'm definitely, I don't know. I'm just clueless is what I am. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, that was the Grammys. And Alicia Keys also had on bedazzled jeans.
She had on bedazzled jeans. She had on a scrunchie at one point.
It was a sparkly church scrunchie, too.
It was a whole lot for me.
She did. She had on... it was vintage. The outfit was vintage 2002. Those jeans with the little bedazzles all
and
over
I really
them. And
hope,
she put on
I
the
don't
jacket.
Know. I don't know how, you know, I'm not as current. I don't know what her current stance is. But if Alicia Keys, I mean, I'm just say this. She better not be out here talking about she don't wear makeup no more because full face all night. Now,
Natural full face.
I mean, now it was BB cream and individual eyelashes versus, you know, a strip. But I'm talking concealer, contour, full face, which I'm not mad at, girl.
Nope.
I'm not mad at, because listen, do your thing. You're going to be on the World Wide Web. You're going to be on television, national broadcasted television. You're hosting. This is an occasion you must rise to. Nothing's wrong with your fresh face, but let's come on. Let's act like we're going outside. So I'm with it. I'm with it. I was not at all opposed. But I just was saying, like, there's just no way that Alicia could be out here. You all right? You dying?
Oh, I turned my microphone off. Oh, but okay. Yes.
There's no way that Alicia could be out here talking about she don't wear the makeup no more, because, honey, lies you tell.
There's no need for us to tell whole truths now.
Let's just whole be truths. Honest.
But let's tell whole truths. Alicia makes me giggle, though. I know she's irritating to most, and she has her moments, but she makes me laugh because she be in her own spacey world. Your girl be high boots.
Absolutely.
And I can relate, so it's cool. And then we'll break out in song at any given moment. But I can guarantee you Boyz II Men did not invite her to be a part of that performance, but somehow, some way.
I feel like she invited them. I think it was her idea.
She probably did, but she and said, oh, and also I'm gonna sing. I feel like it was a last minute announcement. But nonetheless, that was the Grammys. Oh, Billy Porter.
Best dress.
I need one of those hats.
Best dress. Hands down. And I will say this. Nobody's fashion made me sit up straight. Like, I feel like people didn't look bad. Like, I wasn't mad.
Actually, you know who my favorite look was? Imani. Nipsey's daughter. She looked like a little... She had on, like, a mermaid-style dress, but it was still very age-appropriate for her. And this little, like, sheer number that when she lifted her arms, they looked like little wings. It was so cute.
That's adorable.
Imani was my favorite. She was my best dressed of the night.
Ariana Grande had a very big dress on. She looked like toilet tissue. I thought Lizzo looked very nice.
Lizzo did look very nice.
But yeah, I felt like Cardi looked like an ace bandage. No one was giving me anything that I was like, oh, she turned it. I mean, the people didn't look bad, but I wasn't no one made me.
When Zendaya shows up and we be like, she gave us a look.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I didn't feel that last night, but I also don't know if that was indicative of the mood. Maybe I need to go back and revisit these outfits with like fresh eyes, but... As of right now, the only thing that I wanted was I still want Billy Porter's hat. I'll have that. I will. Or at least a bootleg version. But yes, we can move on to these shout outs though.
My sister's popping right now, like.
All right, we have some shout outs tonight. So first and foremost, we have one from a listener. Hi, ladies. My name is Breezy. No need for a long paragraph. Just know that I fuck with y'all for real. All
right.
In a similar vein as Jade's shout out last week, I have a shout out as well. Hey Healer just got to Dallas, Texas area recently, and she's already out here changing lives. All the herbs, tinctures, fresh made teas, lectures, acupuncture, yoga, and meditations are in a central location by a black woman. I went into her store with two requests, and she educated me and provided me with a tea, which worked damn near instantly. She's also helping me support my grandma's healing as she goes through chemo for colon cancer with knowledge herbs and soursop. I put her IG handle, a recent article about her, and her website below. So her tag is Hey Healer. That's Hey with two Y's. And then I'll also be sure to link that article and link her website in the description box. Thanks so much for all you two do. Forever inspire Breezy. So we wanted to shout out Hey Healer in the Dallas, Texas area. If you're looking for a central location where a black woman leads yoga and meditations and acupuncture and does lectures and makes teas and herbs, that sounds like my kind of carrying on. So I'll be sure to put all of the information in the description box so you can find her if you're in the Dallas area. Who you got, sis?
All right. So I wanted to shout out a young lady that I had the opportunity to meet this past week at my organization's annual conference. Her name is Sierra. Sierra was acknowledged at the event as a Patricia K. Cross Scholar. The K. Patricia Cross Future Leaders Award recognizes graduate students who show exemplary promise as future leaders of higher education, leaders who demonstrate a commitment to developing academic and civic responsibility in themselves and others, and those whose work reflects a strong emphasis on teaching and learning. Every year, the organization selects a number of Cross Scholars from a bevy of nominations that they receive. And Sierra was selected to be a 2020 Cross Scholar. She's a graduate student at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about this in my petty peeve. But of course, Sierra was the only Black woman selected amongst this year's cohort of Cross Scholars. And while we were at the meeting, she let my colleagues and other folks know that, you know, I guess people were asking her if there was anyone else that she would like to meet. And she said that she wanted to meet me. So we had an opportunity to connect, and I was able to get her email address. So hoping that we can continue to connect over time. And if there's any way that I can be supportive, you know, I'm happy to do that. But Sierra was really vocal about the ways in which she was encouraged and felt supported and, you know, seen in the space because she knew that I was going to be there, and that made me feel really good. So I wanted to just give you a shout out and commend you on all the work that you're doing there at UMBC and in the field at large. I wanted to commend you for showing up as your full and complete self in this space that's not designed for us to do that. And I wanted to continue to, you know, like I said, I'm going to send you an email, but it's my hope that I can continue to be supportive to you on your journey forward into your career. So shout out to you, Sierra, and all the other K. Patricia Cross Future Leaders, scholars and everything else, but especially Sierra for being exactly who she is and still qualified and recognized for her effort, for her work, and for her contribution.
Yes, Sierra, pop your gum and wear your door knockers.
That's it, proudly. And continue to promise me and promise yourself that you won't compromise or change or feel like you cannot be who you are in these spaces.
I love it. I love it. Shout out to y'all. And yeah, let's move on to this kitchen table talk.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's do it again.
This year, tackle high interest credit card debt with Upstart, the revolutionary lending platform that offers smarter rates to help you pay off high interest credit card debt. Upstart goes beyond the traditional credit score when assessing your credit worthiness. Upstart believes you're more than just your credit score. They reward you based on your education and job history in the form of a smarter rate. They make it fast, simple, and easy to check your rate, and since it's a soft pull, it won't affect your credit score. Once the loan is approved and accepted, most people get their funds the very, very next business day.
Over 400,000 people, that's a lot of people, have used Upstart to pay off credit cards or meet their financial goals. Free yourself from the burden of high interest credit card debt by consolidating everything into one monthly payment with Upstart. See why Upstart is ranked number one in their category with over 300 businesses on Trustpilot, and hurry to upstart.com/grown to find out how low your Upstart rate is. Checking your rate only takes a few minutes. That's upstart.com/grown.
All right, we're back around the kitchen table to continue our conversation about self-love and accountability setting and accountability and intention setting for 2020. For those of you who may not have had opportunity to listen to last week's show, we decided that we were going to engage in the practice of writing ourselves love letters to ourselves, to kind of expand upon I guess the practice of kind of vision boarding and intention setting for the year, kind of framing it from a place of love and admiration and acknowledgement of self, and hopefully using that as a way to get us in the right space to pursue our goals and walk out, you know, each day of the new year toward our objectives and things that we've set out to do. So there was a letter, there was an article, I'm sorry, that was published on Exo Nicole. We included it in, we discussed it and mentioned it last week. But this is where the inspiration for this came from. It was written by Shelley Warren. It was published in the fall of last year. And when I read it then, I said that I wanted to kind of, you know, put this as something that we should be doing for the start of 2020. So Shelley talks about how love letter writing to yourself, you know, brings about certain benefits. So just to recap, writing things down is good for you. It helps you to express emotions, provides clarity to your thoughts, and helps you in setting goals and benchmarks to track your progress over time. It also helps you to document how you feel about yourself, which is useful for combating negative self biases and negative self talk. And she also gives some really useful statistics and science that actually has been able to show how we are naturally wired for negative biases. And we have to work to kind of reprogram those things and retrain our brains to think more positively. Writing love letters to yourself can reset your thinking on challenging days. It's also something like in terms of like when you wake up in the morning on the wrong side of bed and you're struggling, this letter you can pull back out and reread it to yourself as many times as you need to just kind of clear your head and get you back on track. And finally, engaging in this process of loving on yourself, you know, out loud or in this instance, in writing, is helpful in setting the standard of how you want to be treated in all of your relationships. So it's really just kind of like you kind of saying, this is how I'm going to love myself. And doing so, you know, almost demands that those who you're in relationship with have to, at the very least, meet that standard.
Was it?
So I wanted us to write love letters to ourselves. And there was no right or wrong way to do it. There's no template. It was really just about what do you think that you like, how would you want to love on yourself, and what kinds of things do you love about yourself inside and out, and what are the promises that you're going to make to yourself based on that love. So I thought, before we read our letters, sis, I wanted to first kind of couch this by just maybe getting us to mention three things that we love about ourselves physically. And in three things that we love about ourselves, you know, internally or as people. And then we'll just go ahead and read our letters.
Okay.
So what do you want to do first? Outside things you love or inside things you love?
Well, I think I did the inside things on my letter.
Okie doke.
So we can do the outside things.
All right. So give me three things that you think are pretty hot as it relates to your body.
Well, you know, I'm even though it has been the bane of my existence, I am very grateful that I was not born with, in the words of the late great John Witherspoon, flat booty.
This tail.
You know what I'm saying? If I get her down a little bit, I would, but I can't. I've fully come to realize that she is her own.
She's here to stay.
She's her own personality. And so I'm grateful that I have her as opposed to, you know, a flat booty.
Amen.
I think my freckles are pretty cool. You know, I'm pretty okay with those. They've never really bothered me too much. And I realize when, you know, hoes started using eyeliner to put freckles on their face, that these might be a special thing.
Indeed.
And then a third thing.
All right.
Let's see. I'll name something that I don't necessarily love, but I have come to embrace.
That's a good one. I'll probably be doing much of that.
I have a very short neck. And, you know,
it's not that short. You can still wear hoops.
I can wear hoops. I can wear hoops.
There are girls who can't wear hoops.
No, they can't, because if you're up here looking like a reverse mini mouse.
They be all like hoops all sitting on their shoulders.
You know, I do have a long enough neck to wear hoops, which is the positive.
Yes.
But I have also come to embrace that I don't have the longest of necks. And that's okay, because I might look a little weird if I had a really long neck, now that I realize I don't have super long legs. You know, I have a longer torso. And so I just feel like, okay, this neck works with whatever's happening here on this body. So those are my three things. What you got?
I'm with it. I have, most of the things on my list are things that I did not initially think were the bee's knees, but I have come to appreciate with aging over time.
Okay.
I have come to celebrate my bone structure.
Yes.
I have not always celebrated my bone structure or my features. You know, because, you know, when you're younger and in school, like, kids tease you about things that are different, right? So I've always had really strong features, really big lips and high cheekbones and all that stuff. And I was not taught to celebrate those things. It was kind of like, oh my gosh, your face is so bony, like, or whatever, or like so angular, and all these other things, that weird things that people say to you when they don't know what else
kids
to say.
Kids say weird, evil shit, honestly.
But yeah, so I've come to appreciate that, and I think that makeup and me, like, playing with makeup has taught me to appreciate things about me that I've not always appreciated. So I'm very grateful for that. The second thing I will have to say is my complexion, like my skin tone, because I'm a brown girl. But again, makeup and things like that have taught me to celebrate my undertone. So I'm a brown girl, but I'm not red. I'm golden, which means that, you know, there are certain colors that I think look really good on me. But, you know, I've really just come to appreciate and value, like, the richness of my complexion in ways that I haven't always all my life. So I'm very grateful for that. And finally, I'm going to join you and say that I have come to really appreciate my behind. So this is the thing. Like, I've always had a big butt. And it was it for, because, you know, especially there's stigma associated with having a big butt.
Oh, yeah. You fast.
So, like, and especially coming up in church. I think I've talked about this on the show before. But like, coming up in church, because of those stigma, like, you're told to cover up and wear clothes that are too big for you, and really not taught that there is a way that you can wear clothes that fit you that are not, like, you know, and not, you know,
that are flattering,
be suggestive or promiscuous or anything like that. So as I've come, and I think what has helped this in the last few weeks is that I've been very proud of myself. I've been very diligently going to Orange Theory for
you
6 months.
You have.
It has been 6 months. And I am really, really, so I've complained a lot on here and on social media about how this is a different kind of workout for me. So I'm very much used to just, like, doing a bunch of cardio and getting smaller. But of course, with Orange Theory, this is like high impact hit, you know, high impact interval training. And so your body, like, shapes out differently. So I'm building muscle and my body is starting to shape out in a way, that I was, like, not so sure about at first, because I felt like I was getting bigger or heavier. I should say heavier, not bigger, but, like, you know, this whole, like, muscle being heavier than fat is a real thing. And like, you know, muscle kind of sits different. So, like, while I've always had a big butt, and in working out, running and things like that, my butt tends to climb my back, like, sitting right underneath my neck. But, you know, all that being said, I've come to really value and appreciate the way that working out and taking proper care of my body has made my shape look. So I've always been a thick and shapely girl, but now I'm, like, thick and shapely and a little fit. And I feel like it is evident, like, you know, even in my beloved pencil skirts, like my butt sits differently in them. And yes. I have come to enjoy that.
I'm not mad at it. I'm not mad. It was fine both ways.
It was fine. Like, I'm not complaining.
Because you're happy, I'm happy.
Yes, indeed. So, yes, we are coming to value. We are celebrating these things about ourselves. So, I guess we can get into the letters.
Yeah, let's get into them.
Do you want to go first?
You go first. No, okay. You go first because your shit be, like, all eloquent and...
Well, what do you mean?
That would be mad deep. No, go ahead.
I want to hear yours.
Yeah, you're a writer. That's what you do.
I like to write. So
that's what you do.
This is kind of like me just sitting down the computer and this is what came out. So I don't want anybody to feel like, literally wrote this maybe like in 30 minutes before I left work today. So it was, I've been trying to think about it all week, but I didn't want to overthink it and like make it sound like Shakespeare or anything. So I literally just sat down and was like, girl, this is something that I feel like I can continue to read. Something that I, you know, would be like an affirmation for me. So like to hear it, here it goes now. Okay.
All right.
Dear Kia, first of all, I wish to congratulate you on a job well done. 2019 felt like a tornado, rife with all manner of ripping and running, and you took it like a G. Whether it was squaring up with a new experience, adapting through an unforeseen circumstance, following through on a goal or a vision, you found a way to keep showing up. And that's not something that many people can say. You didn't quit, even when you wanted to, even when that felt like the path of least resistance. I commend you for your diligence. I also acknowledge your fatigue. This has also been the year of acknowledging your humanity, the softer, gentler, and more fragile parts of you that you've been ignoring here lately. In 2020, I'm asking you to commit to restoration and figuring out how to build regularly scheduled rest and recalibration into your daily practice. At the end of the day, Kia, you are just a girl. Mommy raised you in the tradition of being selfless, bold, black, fully immersed in the sea of thankless superwomandom. Jumping feet first into meeting the needs of those we love is our legacy as black women. We are steeped in self-reliance and self-sufficiency, all while being expected to cook, fix plates, fold fitted sheets, and any and all other dutiful responsibilities of making a home for those we love. Our service to God is demonstrated by our commitment to family, church, and community, but you can't pour from an empty cup. So in 2020, we acknowledge our limitations, not in judgment of self, guilt, or shame, but we are slowly but surely coming to treasure who we are, the value of our gifts, and how critical it is to keep ourselves safe and healthy. I promise to protect you, Kia. I promise to respect you and love on you in ways I've yet to learn. I promise to take the time to study you and learn your needs and your desires, your tendencies, your habits. I've realized that I've not been kind to you, and I'm sorry. I'm ashamed of the things that I've thought and said about you, the ways I've dismissed you and downplayed who you are and how you are. I've tried to change you and make you fit into spaces and places you don't fit in. I force you to contend and cavort with people you don't like and who you know don't like you. I am sorry. I didn't create space for you to properly process the traumas of your life. I forced you back to work, back to normal, before you were ready. I recognize how damaging my hastiness has been, and I'm going to slow down and take it easy with you. I'm going to spend more time in gratitude and in cultivating right relationship with God and with you. I'm going to spend time in getting to know you again, purposefully seeking to know and be exactly who you were created and purposed to be. I'm going to speak less and listen more and be way more thoughtful in how I use my words. I'm going to focus on healing and finding my hope again. I'm going to study God's word and build a sustained relationship with him. I'm going to learn his love so that I can recognize it, feel it, share it, and show it. I'm going to build a relationship that feeds my faith and trust in him. I'm going to continue to put him first and be a good steward over what he's given me to manage. I'm going to work with excellence as unto him. I'm going to study and be disciplined in cultivating the seeds of scholarship and business he's planted in me. I'm going to take care of my body, my mind, and my spirit. I'm going to think about my future, not from the perspective of what I want to have or where I want to go, but how I want to be known and remembered, what memories I want to make, how those who know me or know of me will speak of me. I want to learn love and partnership. I want to manage wealth and legacy. I want to laugh loudly and from a place of security and assurance. I deserve these things, and I shall have them. Takiya, you are God's daughter. He had great things in mind when he formed you. He's kept you and covered you to this point, and he's not going to stop ensuring that you have what you need and what you desire. He's patient with you. He knows what makes you tick and what trips you out. He's so close to you in every moment, and he won't let anything happen to you. Nothing can separate you from his love. You are brilliant. You are gifted. You are competent, and you will have great impact in the world. You are an educator. You are a student. You are a communicator. You are a community builder. You are healed. You are healthy. You are fit. You are whole. You are loved. You are special. You are wanted. You are safe. You are not limited by the circumstances or the challenges that you may be facing. God is aware of all things concerning you. You will set goals. You will accomplish them. Go forth and be brilliant with love. Me.
Yay. See, this is why niggas be putting your quotes on post-it notes and shit.
No way.
Yes.
I kept stuttering and stumbling, so I hope that wasn't terrible. No, sis,
that was beautiful. 30 minutes. That took me 30 minutes, too, and I'm like, yeah.
I want that to get into beautiful, the practice of though. Talking to myself like this. It felt weird at first, but like you, like the more I did it, it was like, man, this is something that I should be doing a lot more of, but... I love to hear it.
I love to hear you talk to yourself like that. Y'all don't know, cause Kia be Kia be Mike Tyson and Kia, okay? And we be sitting up here like, girl, what's happening? But so I love that you spoke to yourself like that. Well, you know I'm very Virgo.
Oh my.
Very direct and to the point.
All right.
So
this is gonna be good.
It's you know, it's what it is. All right, here we go. Hey, Queen, how do you manage to troll even yourself? Oh, what a gosh. Gift. When I stop to think about it, you're a pretty resilient piece of human. It hasn't been the hardest life. There are people out there who have had it far worse, but it hasn't been the easiest either. And somehow you've managed to continue to get yourself through. When you start to get down on yourself about what you need to be doing, remember you've done quite a bit. Instead of judging yourself for all the different paths and routes you've taken, look at all the interesting and varied lives you've lived. They've all prepared you for the greatness that you have coming to you, because it's coming. You're a hard worker and not afraid to get your hands dirty to do that work. You know it is nobody's responsibility but your own to make sure that you're good. And when you really think about it, you're more fulfilled when you're in the trenches busting titties. But also remember that you deserve rest. You deserve to take a nap without guilt. You deserve to say no. You deserve to buy yourself that ounce. It's how you get over. Doing a nice thing for yourself doesn't take away from anything you do for your family or for others. Speaking of which, you're a good ass friend. Let's be clear, you're mean, but not to the people you love. You never want your loved ones to feel any of the hurt you've ever felt. You recognize that you have the ability to choose your extended family, and you go out of your way to show those people in your own way that you're down for them. You support them, you champion them, and sincerely want them to win. You love taking care of people, making sure they're fed and they're comfortable. That's your love language. Don't downplay it. You have gifts. Don't be hard on yourself because you're not the most eloquent speaker in the conference. You were meant to do other things, and those things are beautiful. Your work and your healing is in your hands. Whether it be with food, herbs, or plant babies, this is where your power lies. Continue to harness that energy. It's powerful. You've grown pretty comfortable with who you are. It's a beautiful thing. We still have a long way to go, but to be at a point where you're truly good with who you are as a person, in your heart, you don't allow anybody to shake that. KTSE, as the kids say. it's one of those things that keeps you grounded. Always remember, talk to you nice. And that's it.
I love it.
That's it, mommy.
So good. We got some letters from some listeners. People sharing excerpts and portions of their self-love letters. And let me just make sure.
I starred them.
Yeah, but I want to make sure we can say names.
Yes.
Oh, she says you can use my name. So this one is from Rachel. She says, when I look at you, I am speechless. When I reflect on your strength, I am stunned. I am admired by you. I stand in awe before you, witnessing the grace that you are cloaked in. Despite what you may think, I am so proud of you. Your resilience emanates off of you, reassuring those around you. Your strength is a pillar displayed through your confidence. Your joy radiates, signaling your trust in a higher power. You are still here, despite what you have been through, and I admire your willingness to keep going. I love your smile and how it brightens up a room. I love your humor and how it shakes up those around you. I love your passion and how it endures trauma. I love your creativity and how it knows no limits. I love your heart and how it loves deeply. I love your spirit and how it's in sync with God. You amaze me. Your willingness to grow and do better is powerful. Your passion and creativity set you apart. You don't completely understand the power you possess, but when you do, don't take it lightly. You can move mountains.
Dope. Mm.
I love it.
Yes, Ray. Yes. Ray. I love that.
So good.
We got another one. We'll read one more, actually. Dear me, myself, my mind, and my heart, these will start like this, and you can write them to whatever you feel you need to write them to. I know to most they may seem ridiculous, but to be honest, you need this. Everyone has a way of releasing stress or thoughts, either by screaming, with a journal, or through talking. You talk constantly and speak your mind, but sometimes it's hard to get the words out. There are unhealthy ways to get things out, like through drugs or drink or when people cut themselves. Oh, but you are using a healthy way to relieve yourself. So do not ever think this is pointless or your thoughts do not matter. Letters will be of different things, such as things you hope to reminisce over when you get older or feelings you never want to forget, whether good or bad, or whether they taught you something, or you just had fun and never want to forget it, or just to never forget a part of yourself in the long run. Letters are like reminders. Sometimes you and everyone in the world will be caught in the moment and will forget all about a specific feeling they treasured and once had. For example, going on a trip to Atlantic City and seeing how beautiful the world is, and then years later seeing the news and watching a scary earthquake or someone who's recently got shot, and now filling your mind with how cruel the world is, forgetting the good portions you've experienced and seen. Who knows, maybe these letters will benefit someone someday, like you looking back on your life in either 20 years or even 20 days for all you care. You can type whatever thoughts you want, and you can say whatever you need to say, but the one thing you cannot do is lie in a letter. A letter to yourself should be a letter of truth. You're only expecting you to read it, and only you know the truth, so in all honesty, if you lie in a letter or try as best to sugarcoat everything, you will only be fooling yourself, which is the opposite of the purpose for a letter. So in writing these letters, to be honest with yourself to the best of your abilities, this is not a journal, because these will not be daily. You may feel the urge to write one when a feeling hits or when you think about something worthwhile. Sincerely, Mind. And they wrote that in 2016 and shared it with us as we said we were going to talk about this. I was excited to share this when you mentioned sending in letters to ourselves, and I hope I'm not too late. I'm 19 in college to become an animator, and I've been writing these letters to myself for a couple of years now. At 19, you've been doing this for a couple of years? You're ahead of the game. And from experience, I can say it helps organize my thoughts a lot. This specific letter I wanted to send in reminds me why I wanted to do this for myself and is the shortest of them all. Have a good night, ladies. So that's from Mind.
Thank you, Mind.
Thank you very much. So we encourage you all to write love letters to yourself and however those letters need to be dictated. Only you know what that is. There, like Kia said, there's no specific way. There's no wrong way. There's no right way to do this. I had no clue how Kia was going to write a letter to herself, and she had no clue how I was going to write one. So this is not, there's no outline for this. This is literally how you need to talk to yourself. But it's for us to continue to try to see the good in ourselves. And, you know, there's a lot of self-deprecation that happens. And sometimes we need a reminder, and that reminder needs to come from us.
Absolutely. And this is something that you can continue to build on, continue to draw from as time progresses, whether you want to, you know, set time in your calendar to check back once a month, or even just like whenever you feel the urge. There's no right or wrong way to do it, but it's just a practice of really creating a space, an opportunity for you to love on yourself in ways that don't feel weird or awkward. Yep. And I really got a lot out of it. And I definitely think that I'm going to continue to build on my letter as the weeks progress. So let us know what y'all think. Give it a shot. Leave comments, reactions, responses. We'd love to continue the conversation, but thought this would be a dope way for us to set some intentions about how we're going to move in 2020.
Absolutely. And we'll revisit this.
Absolutely.
This would be a good check-in. Let's move on to our honesty bags.
Okay.
Honestly?
Truly.
Okay. Oh, this one is titled Relationship Drama for the Honesty Box.
Oh, boy.
So let's get into it. Dear Dr. J, Dr. J, all dear right. Dr. Kia and Chef Jade. First, giving honor to God, who is the head of my life.
That's right.
I recently started listening to the podcast and have been on a major binge. Thank you both for blessing us with the weekly gems to help navigate this ghetto that is adulting. And it is one. You ladies are my best friends in my head. And in the few short weeks I've been listening, your podcast has helped me more than you'll ever know.
Aww.
Now about these relationship issues. Yes, let's get to the mess. My boyfriend and I have been together for about 6 years. Overall, we have a happy and supportive relationship. However, there's one thing that genuinely bothers me. He never posts photos of us together or any of me at all on social media. Whether we're traveling, spending time with friends, or having a date night, he will constantly post Instagram pictures and stories, but it appears as if he's engaging in these activities alone. He's very active on social media, as in multiple posts daily, but never ever acknowledges me. No Woman Crush Wednesday, not even a birthday shout out. Yet he's always posting photos of or with friends, both male and female, and family. I've even seen him strategically frame photos so that I am not in them, and if it's an Instagram story, I'm talking in the background. He will delete, re-record, and post the version without my voice.
Wow.
He claims social media isn't a big deal to him. However, when we're out, he will ask me to take photos for IG, literally multiple times, to get the perfect shot. I will then suggest we take a few together, and he typically obliges, although not enthusiastically, in my opinion. The pictures of us often turn out nice, but he has literally never posted any publicly. Exhibits attached. And she definitely included exhibits. I've asked him about this in the past, and he says it's because he doesn't want people in his business and that I shouldn't let social media define our relationship, which is in no way what I am implying. The behavior just seems odd. It would be a completely different situation if he rarely used social media. But because he's always on it and consistently posting photos of himself and others, I can't help but feel insecure, as though he's hiding me. Plenty of people are aware that we're together, but something about this feels strange. So I've stopped posting photos of him. I never shared much in the past anyway, but would occasionally. Am I overreacting? As I type out my grievances, they sound petty, but I'm almost 31 years old. He's 29, excelling in my career and continuing to chase this bag, so I don't have time for foolishness. Should I try talking to him again about how I perceive his actions? What would you all do? Apologies for the long email, but I'm struggling with this and would appreciate your thoughts and advice. Love you both to pieces and wish you continued success and blessings. Yours truly, a concealed girlfriend.
Wow. So I'm torn. I'm going to be honest, because I have seen. So, OK, I think that there could be a couple of things happening here. I feel like I have seen, you know, people really go overboard with the posting, like, of their significant other, mm-hmm. on social media till it becomes like we are literally inundated with just their relationship and nothing else. And that can be a lot, right? And I mean, it can be a particularly messy, especially when, you know, we transition in and out of relationships, when people break up. Do you like go back and delete? Ooh. Do you know? It's just like a lot. It's just a lot to manage. And I have and for that reason, like, you know, because of that, I have seen individuals go from being all in, I'm going to post you, you're going to be my MCM every week, and everybody's going to know we together. I've seen them go from that to like, ain't nobody going to know this is a thing until we get married. If we get married, and then I might show your hand, and that's it. Mm-hmm. Because I kind of see both sides as to like why, you know, you want people to, you want to post them, you know, social media is like, you know, parts of your life, right? And if I'm a part of your life, then I should be a part of your social media. Like I shouldn't, but I also feel like there, you have to have some boundaries. So I'm kind of like in the mix here and in between, but I am very concerned about the lengths that he's going to.
Oh yeah, nah.
To
this is that's
what concerns me. Like now, because yeah. I mean, like I've been in and out of relationships, and y'all didn't know nothing about it.
This is very true.
But at the same time, I'm not going to crop people out of pictures or like re-record stories or anything like that. I think that there are some extremes here. Especially if you're asking me to take the photos that you're going to post on Instagram and I'm not in or around them in any way, shape, form, or fashion, because what I am not is your personal photographer.
That's it.
But yeah, I feel like that would bother me, and I understand your concerns. What I would do, though, I feel like I would just have to have a real life conversation and just tell him how what he's doing makes me feel.
Yeah.
Because if you've never said anything, he could very well be thinking she's not tripping. But we have to be very direct, especially when we are engaging with our male counterparts. We have to be very fundamental, almost elementary, and use very basic language and just say, when you do X, it hurts my feelings. It makes me feel like you're trying to hide me. You're ashamed of me. Is that the case? Blink twice for yes and once for no. Like, so like,
yeah,
I don't know. I do feel like, I totally understand why you would be bothered or concerned. And I think that if it were me, those are the steps that I would take. What about you, sis?
I agree with you. I agree with you on everything. Social media is not everything. You don't want everybody in your business. Everybody knows who my husband is. He's going to be in my shit. Like, it would be weird if he wasn't. But I really try not to give you all a sore throat by shoving him down it. you know what I'm saying? He's a part of my life. You'll see him sometimes. Sometimes you won't. However, like Kia said, I am very concerned to the lengths that this nigga parkours to keep you out of his post.
Man, like he's working. It's like just... this is like an intentional, like, oh, shoot, Bae's in the back. Let me take this over.
Right.
What?
And I'm not trying to feed any insecurity or anything. And I don't even think this is insecurity. I think your feelings are very valid. And like Kia said, I would talk to him very directly and be like, yo, okay, like you like, talk about not wanting people in your business, but they're in every aspect of your business except for this.
Right. Like, and what's, like, do we need to have nigga, a conversation?
What are these? Like, again, you are literally like doing CrossFit to keep me out of your posts. What's up with that? You know, it's the lengths that you're going to keep me out of. This is not about not wanting people in your business. We've been together 6 years. You know, but I'm not asking you to post me every day or every time we're out. But the fact that it's so important that I take these photos of you because you are doing it for the gram, but you don't want them to know. Like, it's weird. His behavior is just weird. It's weird behavior.
It's very strange. And I think that you are completely warranted in having these questions.
Absolutely valid. And don't let him gaslight you either.
Right. And I fully encourage you to just go ahead and just call a thing a thing.
Yeah, like, nigga, this is weird nigga behavior. And
don't allow him, when you say gaslight, like, don't allow him to make you feel like you're doing too much by asking. Nah. Because I do feel like you should go into the conversation with all intentions of being productive. I'm not asking you to, you know, go in there rolling your neck and snapping your fingers, but just kind of saying, like, flat out, hey, this is bothering me. I would like to know what it's about. Like, are we in this? Like, are we in this in the same ways? Do you have reservations? Like, what is it? And I mean, it may very well be that his last situation, they was in each other's profile picture. and then when the situation went left, or when it fizzled out and faded away, there was just a whole lot of, cleaning up that needed to be done of his social media. So he may just have a hard rule, but if that's the case, he needs to say that.
Yeah.
Such that you won't be over there thinking the thoughts that you're thinking, because no one wants to be insecure in their relationship.
No, 8 and 6 years is
substantial.
A bit of time.
This is not a little bit of time.
No, not at all. So, I'm looking at these pictures that you sent as well. He definitely does it for the gram, like, for certain. And the fact that you're doing angles and shit, no, my nigga, like, no, I'm not getting ready to be out here.
Yeah,
and be
I mean,
a photographer.
I would feel all the ways. If you crop
like,
me
what?
Out, if you
crop
take,
me out,
you,
right?
Did you just take me out the picture?
Like, that's where he's just, it's the length to which he's going that gives me pause.
So is this, wait, so these are other people in the pictures.
That's her. She sent pictures of them together, but she said
he don't
of
post
all
these
photos, he don't post those. And when they went on this vacation, the picture that he posted was of him on the boat.
Oh, I got a problem with that.
Yeah, I don't like it. And you're very cute. So I don't know what is, I don't know what's going on, but keep us updated. Please keep us updated.
So this is one picture where they went to a wedding together, though.
But yeah, but he
page.
Didn't post it.
Ah.
Yeah, exactly. That's on her page, not his.
Yeah, I got
not
questions
his.
As well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I need to know what is happening here.
I really want to know. So again, we're letting you know right now, in case he tries to gaslight you in any form or fashion, your feelings are valid. Do not let him change those. Your feelings are valid. Your feelings are valid. His behavior is weirdo shit, okay? And we want answers. So, like Kia said, don't go into it confrontational. I'm just speaking to you very direct. but speak your piece, sis. You have every right to do so. And keep us updated. Let us know how it turns out. And continue to send your honesty box questions to gettinggrownpodcast@gmail.com. We can move right on to this black woman self-care.
I deserve.
It's time to talk about the self-care that we so richly deserve.
Yes.
I, in my own black woman self-care, I was very diligent about making sure that I made it to the gym 3 times this week. I also allow myself to rest when I was tired. I was very tired. I had a very long day at the conference this past week. Thursday and Friday were extraordinary long days. And I had told myself that I was going to go out and do something Friday night, even made a little bit of some plans. But as I was driving home, I had a conversation with myself and I said, self, girl, you sleepy.
Yeah, girl.
So I went on ahead and brought myself into the house. Proceeded to take my clothes off, and I got in the bed, and I was there for the full length. Like,
yes.
I was there very early, and I stayed, and I did not rush myself up and out of the bed.
Yes.
But yes, I mean, I spent really awesome time in my apartment this weekend. Very grateful for my space. Just enjoying my apartment. I think we get caught up in what we want. We get caught up in complaining, you know, this space is cramped. I got too much stuff. It's kind of junky, the blah, 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 blah. But I was having a conversation with LaToya around just like how powerful gratitude can be. And the practice of gratitude is as far as like bringing you what you need when you need it. So I was really just in here, just like, you know, like, you know, Lord, this little studio apartment that you gave me, it is just enough for me. I'm very comfortable here. I don't feel like, you know, I need to be anywhere else but here right now. Everything I need is in this apartment. Everything in here, you've helped me to pay my bills every month. I have, you know, cable and whatever I want, whatever I want. My bed is comfortable. My space is organized the way that I like it. I really just took some time to just enjoy my space and clean my kitchen and my bathroom. And just like, I'm home. And I don't often get a chance to just be home because I travel and do so much for work. But I took full advantage of the weekend and I enjoyed myself at home.
I love it. I love it. Well, mine is similar. No, it's not. Kind of. I agree with you that your home is your, it should be your sanctuary. We speak about that often because we really mean it. You need to be able to be comfortable in the space that you're in. And I think in these big ages that we're reaching, that's becoming even more key. So I've, you know, really started trying to curate my space to the point where I do love being home. It's not even finished, but I still love being home, and I love, you know, getting in and organizing things and really setting myself up for what I want. I did that today. I cleaned my closet. But anyway, this actual self-care this weekend, I worked alongside with Santana. We did a quinceañera, and was long days. It was like the event went really, really well, very smooth. You know, very, very successful, super prepped up. So it was very easy, but it was just long days, 10-hour day. And then the event day was a 13-hour day on my feet. So, and it was not, it was probably a 15-hour day with commute. But, so, and then Sunday, I didn't get a chance to rest and relax because Noah has dance and I had to do that. And then, you know, you run a couple errands and she wanted to go to the park, even though it was cold as Jack's. And, you know, we got tragic news. So it was like, I really wanted to stop and appreciate my time with my child. You know what I'm saying? I was like, I'm cold and it's kind of gray outside, but how often is she going to want to go to the park for the rest of her life? You know what I'm saying? So the fact that she asked, I was like, all right, you know what? We're going to go to the park. And we did. And I gave her a time limit. But we went and we swung. And, you know, it was no videos. And I didn't record any stories or anything like that. It was just time with her to go and play and spun her around on some spinny thing. And then I took her and got some ice cream after and let her feel like she was doing some popping shit because she had ice cream before we went for dinner. So, and then we went to dinner after that. So it was just a nice, easy, it was an easy day. And it was a necessary day, especially with these times and with all of the news that we're getting. It's important to appreciate the people in your life and appreciate little moments like that. So that was my Black woman self-care this week.
Awesome sauce. Time with family. Very necessary, much needed time with family. And
yes,
we need that, especially given, like you said, given what we've all been processing and dealing with. But good Black women self-care. Let's move forward into the petty peeve, shall we?
Yes, we shall.
And I want to be very responsible of the things I say to my sister, because everybody know I can be real petty. P-E to the T-T-Y, honey.
So my petty peeve is brief this week. Communicate. Communication is so key, and it doesn't take much for us to communicate. If you make an if you set an obligation and you tell somebody you're going to do something, if you can't do it, that's not the big deal. We're all adults and we should understand how life works, that things happen. But you've got to consider other people's time, schedules, circumstances, logistics. You've just got to show respect for that by communicating and letting people know what's going on. If you can't make it for something, if you can't show up, if you can't fulfill something that you said you would, it takes literally 6 seconds for you to let that person know that you're not going to be able to do so. And as long as you're dealing with a reasonable human being, then it's all good. But it's really inconsiderate when you just leave people hanging and they don't know what's getting ready to happen. And that's my petty peeve this week.
Sounds good.
What's well, yours?
That's not good, but I know. So I'm also going to try to be brief, but I'm going to refer back to our shout out to the sis.
Yes, I'm interested to hear this.
So, okay. What bugs me is if you have a question, if you're curious about something, if there's something that you want to know, I think you'd just be better off being very direct and asking instead of trying to like insinuate and ask around something. Because when you do that, like you may be suggesting things that I don't know if you intend. So when it was brought to my attention and that Sierra wanted to meet me, at first, one of my colleagues just sent a very standard email and just letting me know that there was somebody at the conference who mentioned that she wanted to meet me. And it would it be okay for her to, you know, arrange an email introduction? And I was like, of course, no problem. But I guess the young lady must have shared, I don't know if she shared it with other staff members or if my colleague that reached out to me via email has shared it with other colleagues. But throughout the day at the conference, I was approached by several individuals, and they were saying things like, well, you're so popular, you're just quite the superstar. And I would be like, well, what do you mean? Or like, what are you talking about? And
they were passive aggressive,
insinuating that, you know, of all the people, actually several of them actually used these words, paraphrasing of course, but along these lines, but of all the people that Sierra could meet at the conference, she wanted to meet you. Why? Or like, you know, like what's going, like, and they would say, she wanted to meet you. And then they would just kind of like leave this pause that would, I guess I was supposed to kind of explain, or, you know, that's so crazy. Like, you know, what do you have going on? Like, how does she know who you are? And those kinds of things. And I'm just like, I know you don't think that I do good work, or that like, I'm not as known or as popular or as you are. And I know that you are just baffled by the fact that this young lady would want to meet me and not you.
Burns the cheese right off the toast.
I get that right there is just, that is the burnt part of your toast. I understand. But I just feel like, I don't know. I just feel like there's a better way
or maybe you just shut the fuck up,
or maybe, I don't know. It's discouraging that you was like, you know, I'm discouraged by the fact that you're shocked by the fact, by the fact that somebody wants to meet me, or, you know, are you shocked because I'm doing something that you don't know about, or are you shocked because, you know, somebody wants to, you know, you don't know why, you know, I don't know. Like, either way, I'm probably doing a terrible job of articulating this. I'm just saying it annoyed me.
And it because made it's me, annoying.
And it made me feel some kind of way. It made me feel like if you're genuinely curious about what I'm doing or what my other projects are, or like, you know, something, you know, then I feel like there's a better way for you to ask than for you to just be like, why in the world does she want to meet you? Like, I just think that that's,
I think that that's foreign. You know who I call foreigners. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were. Of course they were.
So
y'all got to stop this.
I know. I know that I'm just a little black girl that works over in the STEM department.
No, you're
just
not.
Just cannot fathom why people will want to know who I am at your conference, because, you know, this is your conference. But, you know, quiet as it's kept, some of us are out here working and trying to do good work, impactful work, work that builds space and community for women that look like me, and women generally, but, you know, more specifically women that look like me. So
I think that's a good response right there for them. It's better than the one that I have.
I mean, it's just really discouraging when you find your way through these spaces you've worked so hard to get in, and people, you know, still find ways to make you feel small and insignificant. like small, God, no. Like, and I mean, and I'm, listen, I'm sure, I genuinely mean the fact that I don't feel like these individuals are being malicious, but I don't even think that they recognize the ways that their words can be harmful.
They're being aloof like they always are, and you can't spell aloof without fool. Okay, that's what that's what they're being. Okay, that's what they do. And the shit is annoying, and it's got to stop. You know what I will respond with them with? She wanted to meet your mom, but she wasn't available.
Oh, no, Jay.
Fuck out of here. Like, don't. What is wrong? I get real irritated with that kind of stuff. But I would tell them, you know what? She probably wants to meet me because I do work outside of this space for people who look like me. So, yes, you're more than welcome to connect us via email. Enjoy the rest of the conference, bitch.
Everyone didn't act like that. There are just certain individuals.
No, that's
that
for the ones who did.
Engage, that were really weird about it. And it was really awkward. And it was like, well, what do I say? And I don't know. It just was like the furrow in their eyebrows didn't say, oh, I think it's awesome that this girl wants to meet you. It was like, why the hell does this girl want to meet you?
Whiteness at its finest.
And it was just like, well, dang.
Whiteness at its finest. Woo! I'm really, like I told you, I'm really trying hard to not say white people because I understand it's not all of y'all. But whiteness, that's passive aggressive behavior, is like one of the peak qualities of whiteness. And also not minding your business. Why do you even care? Why do you even care about what I'm doing? Why do you care? You just nosy and you want to be up in my business. You don't have no good intentions. Just get out of here. Oh, they just get on my nerves.
What? I mean, it's just, this is the work that we have to do. So that's my petty peeve. And
God put you on this earth to do that work. He sure did.
I'm trying.
He put the right one.
He really said, not trying.
Your. Or she sure
like,
did.
It's not a
they
thing.
Sure did.
It's not a thing. I'm like, that's what I kept saying. Like, it's not a big deal. That's not a thing. Like, you know, don't make this like. Because it was like they were doing it in ways that were not. I don't know. It's hard to explain. But that's enough of pettiness.
Is it? Okay. All right. So in the meantime and in between time, thank you for listening to Get
to Grow.
We really
appreciate you guys.
As always, we got some new social media stuff coming for you all. So stay tuned and stay engaged. You know what I'm saying? Kia and I are getting ready to get a little bit more active. So yeah, stay tuned for that. I believe we have a website coming. So
we're working on things.
Yeah. Where things will be centralized and you'll be able to find it in one single location. Description box info weekly and so forth and so on. So we appreciate you all as always. And sis, tell them what to do.
Guys, it's really important as we are just forging through the winter months that you continue to mind the business that pays you and moisturize your skin. And don't fail to drink your water. Why, sis?
Because your white will crack if nobody wants to talk to you at the conference. Bye.
Holy God. Good night, y'all. Good day. Good week. See y'all next week.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.